Hey y'all, this is the Iconicast podcast by Icon Meals.
So welcome everyone to another edition of Iconicast, where we try to bring the viewers, our audience, to indulge in our food and stuff. Just a ton of great motivation, inspiration, and just life-changing people and personalities that really just made an impact on the world and try to give some additional information into their background, the mindset, and the lifestyle they live. So with that, we have an inspiration to me and many others today. We have a world-class renowned athlete, and not only athlete, but probably one of the individuals that I would say in my mind have met a lot of people, but has the most probably mental toughness of anyone out there to date. And just a crazy individual, had some good conversations, also a native of Canada. So glad to have that in common with this individual. But this gentleman doesn't really need an introduction, but we will introduce him to just make sure that everyone knows. Again, just set tons of world, two different, I guess, now, right, James? Two different Guinness Book World Records?
Well, it'll be four once these two are approved and put through, so yeah.
Oh, wow, that's awesome then. So we've got to update that to four. But with that, Mr. James Lawrence, welcome to Iconicast. I appreciate you being on for a few minutes with us today.
Awesome. Absolutely. Thank you. And just super stoked to do this one, just because I know you've got a really cool, like-minded audience, and you guys were kind of a big part of our journey. So it's great to finally touch base again after the dust has settled.
Yeah, and your mind is clear, a little bit clearer.
Clearer. I wouldn't say clear.
But again, I appreciate you being on today. So I just wanted to go through, I guess, a few things, really. Like how you got started in different stuff in here, right? So I read some early on when you, I guess, was running and all that in early years, like for your, I'll call it teenage and different things, wasn't your forte, right?
No, it wasn't. I mean, I grew up doing all regular, normal athletics and really gravitated towards wrestling. And so that was kind of the foundation of, you know, my junior high school years and after high school. And really, I attribute it to a lot of my mental toughness and grit and resilience, because, you know, that's the kind of sport where, dude, if you're not willing to take a few licks, you know, it's not the sport for you, and you'll quickly find out who you are. And then just as I got older, you know, you get married and you have a couple kids, and you mentioned you had a little side project called the Dad Bod and whatnot. And so that, you know, that kind of started to happen, and just started running with my wife. She was a bit of a runner, and we met at a gym, and so just kind of had that in common. And then just things slowly started to escalate, and we got into multi-sport together, and now we just, you know, do it, love it, and as history says or was told, it escalated quickly and got out of control.
Yeah, so just to set these bars, just make sure I have my right date. So the first, I'll call it, record you have, it's 22 half, is that the half triathlons back in 2010?
Yep.
And then you did the 30 full distance triathlons in 2012. Then fast forward, is that right? Then fast forward to 2015, it's the 50-50-50.
Yep.
So 50 triathlons in 50 states in 50 days.
Yep.
So that must have been crazy, right? No one probably, like if anyone said, hey, you could have been set, that was it, you didn't need to do any more. 50-50-50. I don't know, like hearing the stories about how you took your family, basically flying commercial, next day leaving Hawaii to go to I guess Alaska, to go to Hawaii, to Washington, or whatever it was, just mind-blowing. And then you hear you stepped up and even said, hey, I'm not done, and said, hey, we got to do this, the Conquer 100. So we'll talk
about we'll just back up for just a second. Yeah. The 50 was, I mean, it was crazy, because it was just such a big jump from what the normal public was doing or seeing or had, you know, anybody had ever accomplished. And so when we first announced it, we got no support. We were mocked. We were ridiculed. We were told it was impossible. His doctor said we were going to die, you know, and at the time my kids were ages 6 to 12, and we got five of them. And like you said, it started Hawaii, Alaska on an airplane. And then we met a small crew in Washington, did the lower 48 in a motorhome. It was so, we were understaffed, under budget, underfunded, and it just was chaos and confusion. And we survived, we did it. And that's, you know, over the following 5 years, I kind of got swept away into like the speaking and the coaching and author and documentary and all this world. And so my training started to lapse, and then pandemic 2020 hits. And as a speaker, a racer, and a coach, in 48 hours, you have 100% free time. Like, your calendar is completely wiped clean. And so I'm looking at this going, all right, now what do I do? And I've always wanted to figure out, my entire career has been like, okay, how do I push my body, my mind to try to find human potential and human limits? And that's just really my limits. I just happen to be a human. And so then I started thinking, okay, if we remove the chaos and the logistics from the 50, could we double that and control the environment, put a team in place, and really self-fund it? Could we do 100? And so that's where the concept really came. And so I had an entire year to start to train for it, an entire year to start to plan for it. And I mean, I was out of shape too. I was trying to get back on journey. I mean, I was on the road, spoke in 48 different countries. And so that takes a toll on your body, and you're just really on the road a ton. And so for me, the journey kind of started to take place early in 2020, when a new, you know, the opportunity of time presented itself. And you know, time kept ticking away. And next thing you know, we announced it, and we were started on March 1st. And we did something crazy between March 1st and June 8th of this year, 2021.
So we'll just have to update that. It's not 100, it's 101, right? So I had to raise that bar one more step. So
yeah, that's a fun ending to the story.
That's awesome. I watched that. So what would you say, like, I think it is the mindset part, right? But for you, what is it that you had to tap into? Would you say it's more mental or more physical, or probably a combination of both? But when you're pushing yourself to that, obviously, like, you can push your body so far, but at some point, right, the mind has to take over. So would you say it's more the sort of tapping into both, or?
Yeah, I get this question a lot, because people are trying to figure out, okay, how physical do I need to be? How mentally tough do I need to be? How do I attack both of those? And the answer really is, it's 100% of both. Because if you're not mentally tough, you can't drag your physically fit body through it. And if you're not physically fit, your mind can't drag you through it. Like, you will physically break down. And there is some very obvious physicalities to what we do. It is sport. It is still 140.6 miles a day of swimming, biking, and running. And just for the listeners that don't know, a full distance triathlon is a 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike ride, so a little over a century, and then a full marathon, which is 26.2 miles. And so it's a total of 140.6. So in this campaign, we said, okay, for a quarter of a year, we're going to do 140.6 every day. And that totaled over 14,000 miles on the human body. And what's crazy is, you don't realize the compounding effect of those miles as you start to do it. So without the physicality of it, you'll break, you'll get injured, you can't recover from those injuries, and the campaign is over. I don't care how mentally strong you are, if you've broken your body, you cannot drag a broken body mentally through it. It will force you to stop.
Wow, that's absolutely crazy. It's talking about 14,000 miles, it's like most people don't put that on a car in a year, right?
So yeah, that's right.
From that standpoint. But I guess when you talk about mental toughness, a lot of people, you could probably have the argument or discussion on both sides, right? But do you think mental toughness is something that you're born with and born into, and it's almost innate? Or do you think that you develop that and it evolved with you over time?
Yeah, I think like any gift or skill set that we are born with, you look across the spectrum and we all have different gifts, right? And depending on the focus and attention we put into our gifts is how we develop them. So some people start with a higher level of mental toughness, but if they don't do anything with it, the individual with less mental toughness can, with time and experience, surpass that individual. So we're all born with a different starting point, but we all have the opportunity to develop that. And it's called showing up and doing things intentionally that are hard. That's the only way. Like, dude, you look like you're yoked. I have chest envy right now. And as an endurance athlete, I just
don't, as well though, too, because
I just don't have that.
It's the same thing, right? I grew up, my nickname used to be Lumpy. Okay. So it's a mindset thing Yeah. I'm never going back to what I once was. So
right, yeah. And so it's that same way. Like you can't get that look you have right now without doing a lot of reps and doing a lot of things around that to do it. Same thing with the space between our ears. That is a very powerful tool. Now, if we ignore it, it's going to get stagnant and useless. But if we really tap into it, push it, and take it somewhere, it becomes our most powerful muscle that you can flex at any time.
So how important do you think is building, I'll call it a foundation in anything you do, right? Because it's not something you just, hey, decide to go to and then you jump in and, hey, I'm going to run do 150 or conquer 100, right? So like, obviously you've built a foundation, but not only, let's say, just in this journey, but building a foundation in pretty much, I don't know, any element of your life or your journey.
Yeah, I call it, you can't go from 0 to 100. And there's foundation and stepping stones and building blocks along the journey. You know, in the great and humble intro you did for me, it started with, you know, me running with my wife, struggling to run, that led into a half Ironman world record. Well, there's fulls, there's consecutive, I mean, there's all these things that I couldn't even consider until I had accomplished that, gained that knowledge, gained that experience, and started to flex that mental muscle and building those foundational blocks. The reason that I can keep injury at bay. Now, trust me, I get injured with the type of stuff that we do, but I can manage it and I can keep a lot of it at bay because of the more than a decade worth of work that I've done. And that's what I mean by you can't go from 0 to 100, being off the couch to 100, because it takes a decade to get to 100 where you can even conceptualize something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people overlook, right? They probably say, oh, James has this gift of blah, 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 or hey, he's different than me, whatever. But they don't go back and they don't look at that decade we just discussed, right? And really, I think that's what a lot of people don't get when they look at something that you've done or those accomplishments.
Yeah, I'm far from a gifted athlete. I was, any athletic thing I did, I'd barely make the team and I'd work my way to be the best player. And I've had genetic tests done. I've had everything done. And I joke all the time from stage and I said, I'm just an average white Canadian. And no disrespect to my home country, but I mean, that's just the reality of it. Like, I don't have this genetic advantage. I don't have, you know, the wingspan that's perfect for swimming like Michael Phelps. I don't have the VO2 capacity that Lance, I don't have these, I'm not a Shaquille O'Neal that is like that individual is built to play basketball, right? Like I'm 5'8", I'm 175 pounds. I'm a size 11 shoe. Like, you look at everything about, like, I am just average across the board. And so it's just testament that wherever you are on your journey right now, you just have to start somewhere, because I started at the beginning and trust me, nobody, if somebody would have been a spectator of my very first triathlon that I did, not a single person in the world viewing it would have said, that guy right there is going to go on to set sports endurance history. Like, there's no chance that happens. And it's because we all start somewhere, and I'm not gifted, but I put a lot of work into what I do.
Well, that's awesome. I guess for our listeners as well, so the Iron Cowboy, right? So where did the name the Iron Cowboy come from?
Yeah, I've got those five kids. If you've ever tried to watch a full distance triathlon or Ironman, it's the least friendly spectator sport on the planet. It sucks. You send your athlete off and maybe you see them blitz by hours later. And so I would, my kids would always come and they'd want to see dad. You know, they were young, they were 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And so during the marathon portion, I'd start to wear a cowboy hat because nobody else was wearing a cowboy hat.
There you go.
So I'm like, okay, my kids are going to see me. And I'm like, I'm from Cowtown. The Stampede is our thing. Like, okay, I'm going to do it. They're going to see me, recognize me. And the public kind of just started to dub me the Iron Cowboy, because I wore cowboy hat during every race of the 2012 world record, where we did 30 Ironmans in 11 countries. And so that kind of became my trademark and symbol, and it just stuck. And even if you look at our logo, the bottom part is the beard and the top part is the cowboy hat. And so it turned into our brand and our look.
I love it. So I've read a little bit about, I guess,
I just heard your Canadian come out.
I know, when I get excited and I get going, the outs and abouts and house come out.
And my kids love it when I do it. And I don't realize I do it either. It's when I get excited and they just like point at me and start laughing.
That's funny, because anytime I'm up on a stage or anything, it's always people pointing back on that. Or if I go home for like a week or two.
Oh, as soon as I go home, I come back and I'm just like tons of bags and moms and A's.
So I read a little bit about, I guess, your alter ego, right? Okay. So if you can tell us a little bit sort of, I don't know, how has that evolved for you and played, like, I don't know, been an important part of your physical journey, not only in like your 30 or 50 or 100, sort of just in all areas, probably even now, like when you speak, right? Do you flip that alter ego or like, I don't know, that's just, it's interesting to me. And I just wanted to ask more about that.
Yeah, you know, I kind of put it in the category of putting on your uniform.
Yep.
And you know, when you put that uniform on, you transition into something different, because that uniform means something to somebody else or something to you, and you have to live up to that standard. And so, you know, there's the people that know James Lawrence, the Iron Cowboy, James Lawrence, the father, the husband and whatnot, very quiet, very reserved, likes his space. And then there's the Iron Cowboy, who's like, get out of his way, he's going to accomplish anything at whatever it takes at this time, you know. And so really that alter ego plays a huge play, and I think it takes time to be able to learn how to flip that switch, but I think it's important that people do it. And I've received comments where, like, I'll be in the middle of being the Iron Cowboy and something happens with my kids and I switch and I instantly become a father in that moment, and I address that and then go back to you know. So it's been interesting for the public to watch me, especially how the way we did the 100, the public really came out, you know, and was part of that journey. And so you can get to the point where you can kind of switch in and out of the alter ego, but you know, when it does get real, when you're in the thick of it, to be able to, you know, say, no, I am the Iron Cowboy, and this is what I do. It kind of defines you, and you excuses go out the window, and you execute as if you're that alter ego.
That's awesome. I call that your superpower, then, one of them, right? Turning that on and off. So where did you get your, because when I look at you and what you've accomplished and stuff, and just your journey even from before, right? You had to have this huge vision, okay, and work ethic. Where did that huge vision and work ethic come from? Was that like, was James always like this dreamer looking, or was it like maybe your mom, your dad, was it an upbringing?
Yeah, I think it was a lucky combination of both my mom and my dad. I had a great, great upbringing. We were totally middle class, and I just public school and school sports. And so I had some great coaches. But as far as my parents go, my mom was this like, stay-at-home mom, dreamer, you can be anything you want to be type positivity. And my dad was this blue-collar firefighter worker, you work and earn your space. And I think I took both of those and I was like, okay, I'm going to dream as big as I can, and I'm going to put it in that work ethic. And so just the marriage of those two personalities made it so that I dreamt big, and when I choose to go all in, I get after it.
It's awesome. I love it. So another thing you do is, I know you set your standards extremely high, right? So is this like, and you constantly raise the bars, because like you could have been done after your first year, your 30, right? You could have been done after your 50. You could have been done after your 100. I'm sure you're not done. So whatever.
No, I am. I'm done.
I'm sure outside of even physical activity or something else, but right, even for your kids and stuff, like how, like you sort of redefine success. So talk for a minute about like the standards, because so many people just, I'll call it like keep their music inside, right? There's some of them live that mediocre life. They think, hey, they're just doing enough to get by, or hey, it's just enough for me. But there's a big difference there. I'd love to just have you address that for a second on like how your standards, and even for your kids, right? For me, it's like, it's them seeing what I'm doing, right? Like I say, hey, dad bod, but it's like you have an accountability and a responsibility. And I find with you that sort of on a similar path, but even higher, where you're pushing those standards. And is that held for all your kids and everything else? And I presume you speak on that a lot as well. So.
Yeah. It's interesting with kids. I mean, they're such sponges, and they're watching exactly what you're doing at all times. And so for my wife and I, we just try to be the best we can at all times. Obviously we're not perfect, but we try to do things with as much integrity as we can. And the kids see that. But as far as, what were you asking?
I was asking about the standard sort of.
Oh yeah, the standard. You know, when I did the 50, people were like, "Hey, do you know this athlete? Have you seen what this person's doing?" And I'm like, "No, I don't care what they're doing because I don't want to compare myself to what others are doing. I want to achieve what I believe is possible." And what I see a lot of people doing is they're setting the bar based on what other people are achieving. And that's dangerous because now you're limiting yourself. To me, I think what other people are out there achieving is where you kind of strive to get your momentum and do what's inside your belief pattern and system and capabilities. And obviously you have to have stepping stones to get to that level and then beyond it, but don't let other people around you influence what your potential is, because you could be limiting yourself. Because at the time, you know, there was the, you know, Rich Roll talks about the Epic Five and the race that we did. And so I could have looked at that and said, okay, these guys are doing the Epic Five. I'm going to go out and do 10 and double what the current standard of excellence is right now. Well, I didn't do that. I went and said, okay, I think I'm capable of 30, you know? So I went from 5 to 30, and that's why everybody right out of the gate said, you know, that's not possible. The 5 is the standard. Yeah. And I'm like, that's the standard for that guy, not for me. And then I was like, okay, the 30 broken up over a year, man, I think now that I've done that, I truly believe that 50 consecutive is possible. And then I would have never said 100 was possible. But then once you do 100 and you give yourself 5 more years to process what happened and take those learnings, now 100 becomes possible, right? And so you completely have this, you need to put your own set of limiting beliefs aside and start looking beyond what everybody else is doing so that you can continue to raise the bar for you, because your bar isn't my bar.
Yeah, that's awesome. So a question, I don't know if you ever got this before, but if you had to use only one word to describe James Lawrence yourself, right? What would you use?
I'm a dad.
Dad, I love it. I would have said something else off the top. That's awesome. I would have probably said for you, relentless or limitless or something like that. But I love that. Great answer, James. I love that one. How did you develop, I guess, the belief in yourself? Because I've always said, if you can't believe in yourself, you got to surround yourself with people that can believe more in you until you have that belief, right? So, like, how did you develop that over time?
Yeah, I love this question, because it's the whole piece of you can't go from 0 to 100. And success breeds success, confidence breeds confidence, right? You have to put yourself in a scenario where you can start to accumulate small wins that build momentum. And that's what people don't do. They try to go from 0 to 100 and they fail. And then they're like, oh, okay. Now they associate themselves with failure. And so I started and I was like, look, I'm going to start with sprint triathlons. And I got really, really good. And a sprint triathlon is just a really short version of a triathlon. A triathlon is anything swim, bike, run. So there's a sprint, Olympic, half and full. And so I did sprint triathlons for years. And to the point, like, I was winning the events and I was like, okay, now it's time for me to go up. Yep. And we coach athletes and they call me up and they're like, hey, I want to do an Ironman. And I'm like, okay, have you done a sprint? And they're like, no. They're like, I want to do the full. And I'm like, okay, cool. But like, what's your foundation? And they're like, nothing. I want to go from 0 to 100. And I'm like, okay, let's have a conversation.
It's a secret, right?
So, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. It's awesome. So I've heard you talk on different podcasts, and I think in different articles and stuff, about commitment, right? How important is commitment in your life and in your journey? Because I think, like, you've obviously, hey, once you're in, you're committed, right? It's, you've talked about that ball and putting all the little excuses and pieces that you've looked at. So can you speak on that for a minute?
Yeah, for sure. Commitment's huge. I call it going all in. I actually sign a lot of my books, Go All In, because as soon as you allow, I don't, whatever the opposite of commitment is, non-commitment, yep, into your brain atmosphere, you give yourself that excuse. Mm-hmm. And so you have to go all in and you have to believe it, because you can't even go to that space. Like, you have to be 300% all in. And for us and the team, like, our teams comprise, you know, our core teams comprised of myself, my wife, Sunny, and the two wingmen, Casey and Aaron. And the four of us, like, as soon as the gun goes off, like, we're all in. And there's no quitting, there's no excuses, there's only problem solving and moving forward. And that's the only way to do it. You have to go all in. Like, when the gun went off for the 100, we were all like, okay, we're going to get to June 8th. We just, it could get ugly between now and then, but we're all in and we're going to get through it. And so, you know, that commitment to the project and what you're doing is super important, because without it, you start to have that doubt. And as soon as that one person comes into your life that like backs up the fact that you maybe have that question about your commitment, dude, they're going to convince you otherwise. Because when you're trying to be exceptional and you're trying to do something at a super high level, you can't afford to have those people in your lives to try to bring you down. And so you've got to eliminate them out of your lives, because they're going to creep up. And if you lack that commitment and confidence yourself, you're going to get swayed into that camp. And that camp always leads to failure.
I love it. I use the term sometimes when I'm speaking stuff, we call it living an excuseless life. And you define that. So I love that. Awesome. So let's just transition over for a second before I have a few more questions, but let's go into sort of your diet, right? Your training and stuff. So what is your, because I told you before we were recording, I think in GQ or somewhere I read before that, hey, you don't really have a diet. So what does your diet look like, and how does that change from when you're not, I'll call it training, to obviously you're going to have to increase calories and different things when you're training. But what does that really look like, and does it differ a lot?
Yeah, so, you know, there's so many different types of ways of eating.
Yep.
And I'm not clowning on anybody. Like, if you want to be a vegetarian, be a vegetarian. If you want to be a carnivore, be an all carnivore. If you want to be keto, be keto. Like, I don't care. You do you. But if you were to take every single diet fad, whatever it is right now, and pulled out the one thing that's the same between them all, it's eliminate processed sugars. And so for me, when I'm getting closer to race or closer into a big project, I'll slowly start to remove that and become more strict. And on the surface of it is I just eat real food. And you know, if you're on a weight loss journey, now it becomes portion control consumption versus calories in, calories out. And then you want the highest quality of calorie to come in to go out. So when I'm doing something like the 50 or the 100, I can eat 10,000 calories of whatever the hell I want, because I mean, my engine is just burning so hot. But here's a perfect example of how normal I am. As soon as I finished the 100, I had to stop so that I could recover and get my body back, get my mind back, start to balance my hormones out. Well, I didn't stop eating. I went from 170 to 190 quick, right? And so now I'm back down to 180 and I've got 10 more pounds to go. But it all comes down to how much you're moving your body, what your lifestyle is, and then what you're putting in your body. And as soon as I came out of my recovery and started moving again, I brought Icon Meals back into the picture and I've lost 10 pounds because I'm controlling that element. I'm eating really clean foods. There's no desserts, no candies, no sugars, and that's coming out of it. And so that's been really the path on how I got back down 10 pounds over the, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. And then I've got 10 more to go and I'm going to stay on the program.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about sort of, do you use like supplementation and stuff? So I know, and then tell us also a little bit about Speed Sauce. Like, I think that's your, is that your electrolyte formula?
So we stopped doing Speed Sauce.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And so I do supplementation. We do the protein drinks, the pre-workouts, all that stuff. I work with a company, First Form, Andy Frisella. Yeah. We've talked about him. They were a huge, huge part of our journey. And so really enjoyed working with them and just on their entire stack. They just do a great job. They put out a great product. They've got an amazing culture, just like you guys do. So really the combination between real food that you guys have and then the First Form nutrition supplements and all that really makes it whole.
So we work with a lot of their athletes and stuff as well. So we have for a long time, but
yeah,
a relationship with Sally, Andy, and Chris. So they're great.
Yeah,
guys.
Great guys.
Like I said, it's the first time I really ever heard with you back in Andy's podcast and EMF CEO. But let's talk quickly about training, because most people are going to say, hey, you run, you cycle, you swim, right? But how do you build, like, I think there's probably a lot of people just would say, hey, it's your main muscles, but I know what you do in the pounding. You just said you went 14,000 miles in your body, right? It's obviously got to be a lot of ligaments and tendons and the little stabilizing muscles between. So what else are you doing? Are you doing strength conditioning? Or are you doing like a HIIT style, steady state? You probably don't need to do a whole lot of cardio. Of course, it's conditioning for your lungs and stuff, endurance. Yeah. But is there other pieces that stabilize those smaller muscles and different things outside of what the normal person might think?
Yeah, so this is two different conversations too, because you've got the strength component side of things that you have to start out slow, because the muscles grow faster than ligaments and tendons, and they got to need time to catch up. And that's why people get injured when they go 0 to 100. And so we do the strength training, and then we do a lot of shorter distance speed work to start to develop that type of fast twitch and the supporting muscles around it. I do a lot of trail running, a lot of unstable surface running, up, down, side to side, rocks, roots, all that kind of stuff to get your hips, your ankles, your flexors, all of that good, your Achilles. That's the type of stuff that needs to be strong. We do a lot of stepper work, going up hills, inclines, steep on the treadmill, things like that. And then recovery is also huge. We do red light therapy. We do hyperbaric chamber. We do
cold plunge, stuff like that.
Yeah, acupuncture, dry knee. I mean, all of it. I mean, I just did, stem cell. Okay. I just did some stem cell to help me recover. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. And a lot of people don't realize that. They're just like, oh, I just got to do one or two things. No, you got to do a lot of things right. And to get it right. And so it's not just swim, bike, run. It's the whole recovery sphere and paradigm. And then it's the strength training and the mobility work and things like that, that we do to support those smaller muscles. Because if you're just doing strength and you're just doing the cycling, your quads and everything are going to get so big, the ligaments and tendons can't handle it. And that's where you're going to get injured.
Awesome. I appreciate you speaking on that, because I think a lot of our audience thinks, oh yeah, he just ran, he just biked, he swam all day. But I know there's a lot of different things. So I know we're wrapping up here, and I appreciate your time. So I just want to be cognizant of that. But what would you say, what's the legacy that you want to leave, right? For your kids, for your family, for everyone out there. What's that?
Yeah. To be honest, it's, again, a father first. I want people to realize that family is important. Okay. You've got to, as parents, we have a responsibility. You have these kids, you've got to, you know, put a lot of time and effort into them. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I want people to remove excuses and entitlement out of their vocabulary and own it. Like if you're winning or losing, it's your fault. If you're fat, it's your fault. If you're skinny, it's your fault. If you're strong, it's your fault. And I want people to take that ultimate accountability. If you don't like the way your life is, make a change and do it. We all have, especially here in the United States, we all have access to great resources. And if you don't have it, go get it. It's just possible. I literally immigrated from a different country. Yes, it was Canada, but I had one friend and a couple dollars in my pocket, and I built an empire here. And so it's truly possible to come into an area, know nobody, and really, you know, go after it, and you can create anything you want. So I think that's the legacy, is one, just get the hell out of your own way and create and be anything you want to do and be.
Awesome. I appreciate it. So what would you say is the hardest thing you had to overcome on your journey? So I know there's probably different things that you had to overcome on the 50 versus the 100, right? Just based on the distance, the timing and stuff. But what would, if you said, had to say, hey, there's the one thing that I really had to overcome, what would that have been?
Keeping Sunny Joe happy.
Happy wife, happy life, right?
There you go. If that's the theme and the motto and the one thing you get from this, man, you will continue to win in life.
I have to say though, James, like I love seeing Sunny be that big of a part. Like we talked a little bit before, right? I've been married 23, you've been married 21. You just have a seemingly, I'm sure, hey, I know it's not always just happy sailing, right? But again, to see her be that integral part of your camp. And really, how you guys have built this legacy, this empire together. It's awesome on that. So I give you props and congratulations on that. But
yeah, thanks. Because if you look at it, I mean, I'm the face of the brand, and I'm the one out there kind of suffering in pain. I've discovered that my gift is suffering. But none of it happens without Sunny Joe in the background and the wingman doing their job and the insane team that we have. And I mean, I had deep tissue body work done for 2-3 hours a night for a quarter of a year. Those, you know, that team really put me back together every single night. They were here from 8 p.m. to midnight every night. I mean, that's just such a commitment. And none of it, I mean, again, you see me up front, I'm in the pictures and all this, but none of it happens without the behind the scenes stuff.
Just a couple more questions for you. So if you had to tell, I don't know, or give us one or two traits for really allowing you to achieve success into where you are, what would those couple of traits that you've developed culminated right over those years being?
I would just say you're guaranteed to fail if you stop showing up, right? And so consistency over a long period of time, like that's a trait you have to have. Like keep showing up, keep refining your tool, keep adding members to your team, keep learning, keep growing. And yeah, there's going to be frustrations, there's going to be losses, there's going to be injury, there's going to be peaks and valleys. it's who you are in the valleys that defines who you are. And so being resilient in those moments is ultimately that's the characteristic you have. Putting together our team, I don't look for someone who's awesome on paper and who's awesome when they're awesome. I look for someone who's awesome when they're broken and exhausted. That's the guy I want on my team, because he's going to be exceptional when he's great, but he's going to be great when he's not.
Now, people need to go back and listen to this a few times, because that's key life lessons right there. So appreciate that. So I guess you get this question a lot, right? But what's next for Darren Cowan? What's next for James Barnes, right?
I think that the best answer I have right now is my next goal is to live till I'm 100.
That's awesome. I love that. So where can people find you right there, James? I appreciate you've been on, but can you give the listeners where they can find you, social, otherwise?
Get
your book as well. Great book. So
yeah, everything that we have, our merchandise, our books, anything information wise points to every direction is ironcowboy.com. And on social media, our biggest platform is Instagram, and it's Iron Cowboy James.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time today. I appreciate the amount of, I'll call it nuggets that you've dropped for our listeners. Not only, hey, on the nutritional side, sure, we're a food company, but from the standpoint of really just putting your mindset in the right position, right? And
yeah,
allowing people to go from where they are, if they feel stuck, to where they need to be. So appreciate the time you took, and thank you very much for speaking with us today. And we look forward to hopefully following up down the road and learning a little bit more. But appreciate the time, sir.
Awesome, man. Thank you. Have a great day.